who brought his work crew in and set them to the task of carefully clearing away the powder and debris. They used shovels and wheelbarrows to haul it outside and dump it down the front of the mountain. Anya worked at the front, shoveling more and more rock out of the way. It was hard work, but she wouldn't back off and let anyone else do it. She monitored her own feelings, though, alert to any change in her perceptions. So far, there was no sign of anyone succumbing to the hallucinogen's effects. It hadn't taken long before the opening was large enough for a person to crawl through. Anya stepped back and put the shovel down.
Where do you think it goes?
It could be just a few rooms, but if the legend was right, if this really was a city of thieves, then I'll bet it goes deep underground and stretches all the way back toward Lulan.
Why Lulan?
Because they'd have needed a source of water. Lulan had the only canal that could support the city.
Maybe they could have dug wells?
That's a possibility, but I doubt there's much groundwater in this area.
There's a helicopter! It's coming this way!
Wary at once, but reminding herself that there had been no sign of Garin Braden or Guy Kuan Yin so far, Anya went to the cave's mouth and peered up into the sky. As her eyes adjusted back to the light, she used a hand to shade them against the scorching sun. Looking waspish, the aircraft swooped in low, coming in from the dark cloud bank that was now almost upon the mountains. The gathering wind swept across the open desert, bringing dust devils to life and causing the helicopter to bob in the air. Strapped into the co-pilot's seat, Garin scowled as the windstorm swirled into being around him. If he didn't know better, he would have sworn that the fates had decided to intervene. As the helicopter closed in on the mountainside, Garin could see one of the workers on the ground dump another wheelbarrow full of detritus over the side. Guy's order to his men snarled in Garin's headset.
Kill them!
The heavy machine gun bullets chopped into the camels and the people tending to them on the ground. Most of the camels went down at once, pocked with huge bloody holes, sagging on legs that would no longer hold their weight. Two men ran, but they didn't get far. The pilot pulled his craft up, taking aim on the cave mouth. Kelly Swan acted on instinct as the attack started. She scrambled for her bedroll, watching from the corner of her eye as the helicopter maneuvered toward the mouth of the cave. Diving to the ground, Kelly yanked the bedroll open, not caring who learned her secrets now. In her haste, she spilled her pistols from the bedroll. They slid across the exposed rock and dust collected on the cave floor. The bag of bones skittered free as well, the ivory sphere tumbling free from its cloth bag. She took one step forward, leaning down to grab it, but a woman's hand reached out and caught the bone sphere before she got there. Kelly's eyes met Anya Creed's. Kelly could see it in Anya's face. The archaeologist knew now that she wasn't just a laborer picked up in Dun Huang after all. Kelly dove away from the bullets just in time. Falling forward, she grabbed both of her pistols, flipped the safeties off, and charged toward the cave mouth. Two of the workers stood frozen in the opening, staring at her in stunned disbelief. Kelly threw herself into the two men, hitting them at knee level and knocking them to the ground.
Get out of my way!
She pushed herself up from their midst, throwing her pistols up before her as the helicopter swelled to fill her vision. Garin saw the woman in the cave open up before the pilot did. In the bright light, he couldn't see the muzzle flashes of her pistols, but he knew they had to be there when the plexiglass nose of the helicopter suddenly spiderwebbed. One of them cut by Garin's head, and stuffing exploded from his seat.
Get us out of here!
The machine gun silenced as the pilot jerked the yoke back and brought the tail section sharply around. Guy's men slid the cargo door open. A few of the men fired, sending hot shell casings ricocheting around inside the helicopter. Guy cursed them and sank into his seat, taking cover. Glancing across the pilot and towards the cave mouth, Garin saw the woman duck back inside.
She's out of bullets. Quickly, turn the helicopter.
Garin went silent as Rue stepped from the cave, a massive hunting rifle clutched in his hands. Garin knew from experience how deadly Rue could be in a firefight. The old man took aim.
Get out of here!
The pilot's head disintegrated in a mist of blood and bone that sprayed the inside of the plexiglass. Garin felt a sticky warmth spread over his face and could taste the salt of the man's blood. His left eye went dark, leaving him unsure whether a round had hit him in the eye or whether he had just been blinded by gore. With a sickening lurch, the helicopter swerved out of control as the corpse draped over the oak. Garin's world turned into a kaleidoscope of movement. He yanked his headset off, shoved the pilot's corpse away from the controls, and switched off the helicopter's engines. He managed to blink some of the blood out of his eye, increasing visibility, so he felt certain Rue's bullet hadn't caught him when it had passed through the pilot. He hoped that shutting off the helicopter's engines would save them. The rotors still turned enough, powered by the descent, to slow the fall to some degree. Evidently, Rue kept firing. Garin could see more holes appearing, even as the desert floor rushed to meet the aircraft. One of Guy's men was struck by a round. Garin flew hard into his safety strap, but it held. Confusion filled the helicopter's interior. Men looked around in a daze, amazed to be alive. The smell of gas mixed with the air, whipped by the storm's growing ferocity. A hole opened up in the helicopter's side, slamming a man against the opposite cargo bulkhead. Rue hadn't given up on killing them.
Out! It's the old man. If you stay in the helicopter, he'll kill you.
He pulled at his seat restraint and found that it was locked and wouldn't release. Reaching into his right boot, he pulled out a fighting knife and slashed the restraint. He rocked forward, barely clearing the seat, before another high-powered round slammed through the helicopter and opened a hole in his chair big enough to put his fist through. Kicking the door open, Garin dropped to the sand outside. He didn't pull his pistol. The bullets would never have reached Rue in the cave mouth at this distance. Racing to the cargo area, Garin reached in and jerked Guy's surviving warriors one by one from the death trap the helicopter had become. One stray spark, and the whole thing would blow. Five of the men were down. Dead, dying, or wounded, they would serve no use but to hold the group back.
Out of the helicopter! Out of the helicopter before it explodes!
He leaned in and seized an AK-74 from one of the dead men. Another swipe netted him the ammo bandolier. Guy struggled out of the helicopter under his own power. Despite his impatience and self-imposed sense of worth, the man moved like a fighter, powerful and quick. Rue, meanwhile, kept up his barrage of high-velocity rifle fire, targeting the helicopter. One of the surviving men stepped into the old man's line of sight. A bullet punched through his chest and tore out his backbone. He was dead before he hit the ground, falling first to his knees, then to his face.
Away from the helicopter, you idiots! Follow me!
Garin ran, heading for a sand dune that offered some shelter as bullets from Rue's rifle tore dish-sized divots from the sand, the whipping winds filling them in as quickly as they appeared. Garin threw himself behind the dune. Falling into a prone position, he took aim with the AK-74. Flipping the fire selector to semi-automatic, he began pumping round after round at Rue. Seeing that he didn't have the distance right, he adjusted the sighting screws and took aim again. Before he could squeeze the trigger, a bullet plowed into the sand in front of him, cutting through the soft ground and burning across his neck. Realizing that the bullet had nearly taken his head off, Garin ducked down further. The wind was whipping sand up in his eyes, not only making it difficult to fight, but bringing an onslaught of blinding pain as well.
Somebody get me a canteen!
He needed to flush his face before the sand cut his eyes. With her attention torn between the mysterious bone sphere in her hand, Rue firing at the attackers, and the woman reloading her pistols, Anya didn't know where to look. Who and the others had thrown themselves to the cave floor when the shooting had started? They looked on in amazement. She made up her mind, though, as the armed woman suddenly pointed both of her pistols at Anya's chest.
Give that back to me.
What is this object?
None of your business.
Anya turned the ball over in her hands and spotted Scythian tamgas cut into the surface of the bones. She realized then that the ball was made from several different bone fragments that fit together.
Who are you?
Deliberately, the woman pointed one of the pistols at Anya's right eye.
If I have to ask again, I'll kill you.
Bullets suddenly sprayed against the front of the cave. A few of them entered, somehow managing to miss everyone. Rue bolted back from the cave mouth and pressed himself against the scant protection offered by the wall. He began feeding shells into his rifle, stopping when he spotted the woman with her weapon trained on Anya.
What's going on here?
I don't know, but the ball I'm holding seems somehow connected to all of this.
Let me see it.
Hand it to anyone except me and you are dead.
Rue, we're not exactly at the negotiating table on this one.
Anya reached into the otherwhere, gripping her sword firmly with her right hand. At the same time, she reached out and held the ball out to the woman with her left. She gripped her weapon tightly, ready to pull it into the cave with her in an instant. The woman reached for the ball. Anya twisted, drawing the sword and striking the woman's gun arm with the flat of her blade. Swinging again, Anya caught her with the same side again, this time whipping her on the temple. Dazed, the woman dropped to her knees. Anya plucked the ball from the woman's hand, then kicked her pistols toward Rue. Surging forward, the woman pulled a knife from her boot and lunged for Anya's throat. Anya barely got the sword up in time to deflect the surprise strike. The woman sprang backward, throwing a roundhouse kick. Anya ducked under the kick and took the sword's handle in both hands. Nearly everyone turned to face the sound of Rue's weapon being cocked. From the corner of her eye, Anya saw that he had aimed squarely at the woman's chest.
Drop it, my dear.
With a look of pained disgust and maybe a little embarrassment, the woman threw the knife down. Rue didn't move his rifle.
Now then, let's look at the facts. That little bubble you've been carrying means that your presence here isn't a mistake or coincidence.
No, I came here to kill Dai Quan Yin.
Well then, that would certainly seem to give us common ground, don't you think? If I haven't killed him, I'd be more than happy to have another go at it.
Rue! Rue! Come out now! You don't have to die in there. You can still walk away from this.
Do you think we could trust him?
No.
Neither do I.
Rue turned his attention back towards the woman with the ball.
What's your name?
Kelly.
Now, Kelly, why do you want to kill Guy?
He had my father murdered.
I saw you handle those pistols of yours. You've had training. To end up out here, you must have known that Guy would come.
Yes.
How?
Because Guy is looking for the City of Thieves.
Anya held up the ball.
Where did you get this?
That's for me to know.
What you know is important. We can either hear you out, or we can figure it out on our own. Guess which choice you should make if you want to live.
A chill passed through Anya. She had the distinct impression that Rue really would kill the woman if she didn't talk.
I don't know what it is. My father left it for me. Until a few days ago, I had never even seen it.
Rue, don't be foolish.
Why is this ball so important?
There are tamgas on the pieces.
Well, I hate having to make all these decisions all at once. I don't know whether to trust her or not.
Then I'll make this call. You decide whether or not to trust Garen.
Anya willed the sword away, then knelt and picked up the nearest pistol. She handed it and the bone sphere to Kelly. Kelly looked surprised. The pistol jerked automatically in her hand, almost coming up, despite the fact that Rue still had her covered.
Now we're in this together. Guy and Garen aren't going to give you a free pass out of here.
I don't want one. Besides, I can't figure this thing out anyway.
Kelly tossed the ball back to Anya. Leaning down, she retrieved her other pistol and lifted both.
In any case, I'm better with these.
Ugh. How do you know she won't put a bullet at the back of your head the first chance she gets?
Woman's intuition.
Anya turned and stepped to the cave mouth and carefully peered down. A couple hundred or so yards away, Garen, Guy, and 15 armed men occupied positions behind sand dunes.
I don't think we're going to get out of here without putting some more of Guy's men to rest.
Anya, talk some sense into the...
Rue had rolled out of hiding and fired. The bullet missed Garen by inches. The second round struck the helicopter's gas tank. Black smoke roiled up to mix with the thick, ominous clouds that swirled in the sky. Garen and his newfound friends were sprawled out on the dune, thrown by the force of the blast.
Well, so much for negotiations.
It would only have been a waste of time. Besides, we already have a way out.
If it goes anywhere, that is.
Not much of a choice now, is there?
Behind them, the archaeology crew began struggling through the hole in the cave wall, stepping one by one into the waiting darkness. Outside the storeroom, which had obviously been designed to stand apart from the rest of the underground structure, Anya followed a corkscrew spiral staircase that had been carved from solid stone. The amount of work involved told her that the subterranean complex must have taken years to construct. She followed her own flashlight beam, but the beams of the crew behind her wavered and flashed through the darkness as well. Knowing that Garin and Guy wouldn't waste any time pursuing them, they all moved as quickly as they could. The steps went on and on, leaving a feeling of vertigo swirling in Anya's skull. Several of the people following her had started to bump up against the rough-hewn walls. She hoped no one would fall, bringing all those below down as well. Finally, reaching the bottom of the steps, Anya discovered a hallway that ran to the left and to the right. She waved her flashlight at the wall in front of her, hoping for some kind of help that would explain where she was. She transferred the bone sphere to her backpack as everyone gathered.
Do you know where we are?
The best I can guess is maybe 80 or 100 feet below the surface.
Anya looked at the ground, hoping the wear on the stone would indicate which way most of the pedestrian traffic went. She figured that heavier wear would indicate the shortest path to an exit. Even then, there was no guarantee that whatever exit existed 2,000 years ago was still there. Anya knelt and ran her fingers across the stone. She felt the deep grooves in the rock caused by the frequent trips of those ancient citizens who had lived in the city beneath the ground.
Is there a map of this place?
Unfortunately, no. Hold back the others for a moment until I can decide which way to head.
Kelly blocked the doorway with her body, stopping the line of people. Rue was at the end of the line, having chosen to bring up the rear in case he needed to cover the group from the enemies behind.
What's going on up there?
Anya ignored the question. She determined that the stone was worn more heavily to the left, so she headed in that direction. A trench occupied the center of the corridor, deep and smooth. Stopping for a moment, she shined the flashlight ahead of her.
This way!
She took off at once, stooping below the corridor's low ceiling. Kelly followed close behind, matching Anya's pace, but still leaving her enough room to work.
That was a neat trick with the sword. How did you do that?
You could call it a sleight of hand.
You'll have to show me sometime.
Huh, you know what they say. A good magician never reveals her secrets.
Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.
God, this is so boring. Really wish I had something to pass the time. Ah! What the?
Fear not, my poor boy stiff friend, for today is your lucky day. I am the Graphic Audio Fairy.
Why are you wearing that?
I told you, I am the Graphic Audio Fairy.
Okay. Could you perhaps put some pants on, maybe?
So you don't like my leotard?
Why are you here?
I, the Graphic Audio Fairy, am here to rescue you from your pit of miserable boredom. Here, take this.
Dude, I'm not taking anything from you.
No. Here! It's Deathstalker Destiny Episode 1.
But you're a fairy.
Forget that right now. Just listen.
If I listen to it, will you put some pants on?
Yeah, sure. Just listen.
All right.
Everyone stared about them, thrown off balance.
The general this alarm is awesome! For anything
less than well, it looks like my work here is done. Another show saved from the pitch of everyday monotony by none other than the Graphic Audio Fairy.
For more information, go to www.graphicaudio.net.